Mr. Peter Lynham, or Professor Peter Lynham, I should say. How's it going, mate?
It's very well, thank you. I'm walking through the streets of Ponsonby and enjoying the sun.
You're always on some crazy journey. I feel like we should have some competition. If you find Peter Lynham out on his phone, you get maybe a kombucha.
Yes, I've been looking for people celebrating Jewish New Year, but I can't find a soul.
Okay, what does it look like?
So, well, I definitely saw a young Jewish man, and I was travelling in a bus yesterday, and he'd definitely come from Jewish New Year celebration. So Rosh Hashanah, this is the big event for Jews.
Okay.
It's the festive event. I mean, a lot of Jewish celebrations are a bit somber in some ways.
Right.
But this is celebration. This is 3 days of whipping it up, which ends up with now, I haven't got the year because I'm walking.
Is it about 5,070 something?
I think 5,700 and something years since Moses and the Red Sea. So this is going back a long, long way. Yes, my goodness. So it's always a great note of celebration, a bit like Matariki, you know, for Māori. Mm. A significant moment, made a lot more difficult because Jewish society, like most, you know, sort of cultural groups like this, it's a very, very communal event where you desperately want to do things together. So in Auckland, I don't know how Jews could have celebrated it yesterday because they couldn't have got together unless they were in a group of 10 or less. And right across America, and there's huge Jewish communities in Brooklyn and in some parts of the US.
Yeah, Brooklyn's epic, man. I once got lost in Brooklyn. I was like, oh, I'll just walk to this place I need to go to. And I slipped right into the heavy, like, zone. Next thing is, like, just super young women with full babies, and everyone's like it's a real scene. And, like, old mates cruising around with those, like, rad-ass curly sideburn situations.
Is that,
like, Hasidic? Is that what it's called?
It was
fucking
the
communal.
In that part of New York, it is phenomenal. Not just Hasidic, also Messianic.
Okay.
Because they believe that the Messiah is probably living in their midst and is one of their rabbis, but is waiting to reveal himself as Messiah at the right moment.
Everyone was being quite nice to me. Maybe they thought that maybe.
Oh yeah. Well, it's nice and it's also strangely obscure at the same time. I lived in a part of North London which had quite strong links with Brooklyn and New York, and I used to adore it and hate it all at the same time because I wanted to go to a Jewish synagogue to enjoy the celebration.
You just want to eat the snacks.
Yeah, there was a liberal synagogue up the road. That was no problem. I could go to that.
Right.
But do you think I could get into... I mean, basically, Jewish synagogues are supposed to have about 50 people in them. So there must have been hundreds of Jewish synagogues in the area.
Mm.
And we got the weekly Jewish brochures in the letterbox. But there was no way I could get in. And when I asked one day, having pressed the buzzer to let a Jew across the pedestrian crossing because he couldn't press the button because that was work on the Sabbath.
Oh, wow.
I thought he would be cooperative, and I said, could he leave me? Tell me, was there a synagogue I could attend?
Well, that would be work too, so no.
And he gave me the address in Brick Lane. So I went down to Brick Lane.
Oh, good food down there. Fuck yeah.
Yes. Sweet. But do you think there's a synagogue down there? No.
Oh, he's taking the piss. Okay.
It was a mosque. He took me to a mosque.
What? Yes. Probably was just chuckling away as he walked off.
Yes, of course. Yes. But I used to love the sense of, for example, the women who, once they get married, have to shave their heads and wear wigs. And so they're looking at the wigs.
What?
Well, you know that Jewish women and conservative, traditional Jewish societies, Orthodox Jewish communities, wear wigs.
Far out.
To maintain modesty.
I did not know that.
And I'm sure in Brooklyn you saw this extraordinary thing of the man at the front.
Yes.
the woman behind, the children.
It was very, very, very conformed situations. I was like, whoa. And it went on for block after block after block. Like, it was a huge community.
Of course. Yes, that's right. And especially on going to on Shabbat, heading off to the Saturday celebrations. Oh, my. But then comes Rosh Hashanah, and they are dancing in the streets.
Right.
Incredible. I just adore those moments of festivity.
Yeah. I think we party quite hard in, like, bar mitzvah situations as well.
Oh, yes,
like,
of course. Yeah, that's right. So, astonishing, rich culture. Many of them, of course, have come from Eastern Europe, and they brought with them this very intense Jewish culture, which, because of all the hatred from the surrounding community, they've maintained a completely separate world.
Yeah.
And then they've imported it into New York and London. And it's just so unfamiliar there, and yet so extraordinarily preserved for us to look on at.
Right on, yeah.
Now, Peter,
is there sort of a tide of anti-Semitism rising at the moment against the Jewish people?
Everywhere, Jewish communities are reporting vandalizing of their synagogues, of very nasty anti-Semitic, crude jokes being made at the expense of Jews. It's a very, very disturbing rise of anti-Semitism.
Why is it happening at the moment, Peter?
Well, there's been quite a lot of discussion about it. Partly it's because the Jewish state acts so objectionably against Palestinians.
Yes.
So that there's a blurred line between anti-Semitism and anti-Israel sentiment. But I can think of a thousand reasons. I'm reading a very impressive novel at the moment. What's it called? Ankiron, I think it is, which is the story of a Jewish and a Palestinian man, both of whose daughters are killed in the Intifada, and that come to become friends. And so there is a kind of passionate search for how on earth can these communities learn to live at peace. But it's very troubling when the hostility against Israel and against Netanyahu's objectionable policies then turn into crude, vicious, anti-Semitic jokes.
I remember
the Holocaust had never happened.
I remember, like, going when I was schooling, like, young lad at school, and there'd always be, like, some weird joke about Jewish people, and I'm 100% never even knew what the fuck I'm talking about. It's just parroted fear of something that people don't understand. So it's like it's pure ignorance, you know?
Yeah.
Most of the time, I think.
Probably, but it certainly has led to the circulation of well-known frauds like the Protocols of the Elders of Zion that claims that Jews are responsible for all the wars in the world, etc., etc.
Yeah.
And some of this comes from ignorant sources in Islamic communities that, in order to protect the Palestinians, tend to carry on circulating some pretty anti-Jewish materials. And yet, I mean, historically, Jews and Muslims lived together in Palestine in peace until the formation of Israel.
For me, I think a lot of it is like just sort of a distaste against a group of people that are, like, generally they're very successful, you know, and it has to do with it probably a stern upbringing and just like stern morals and stuff, and they seem to be a very intellectual group, you know, and they do really well, and people on the outside seem to have a have-not situation. They just get mad at them for that, you know.
Yes, and I think that's partly because Jewish culture is intensely word focused. You know, it prizes the intellect. It rewards the successful, and it manages to accommodate secular and religious together and hold them together in a community, which is quite a remarkable achievement, really. So the Jewish community is both religious and non-religious in some respects, And this, I think, does lead to intense bitterness from other groups that feel like they haven't got that cultural success.
Yeah.
Mm. Peter, say I was practicing Judaism or I was Jewish, and I look to the way that Israel is operating and Netanyahu are operating, how do I resolve this sort of conflict between, or the tension between my spiritual leanings and the way that the state is operating over there?
Well, let it be said that in Israel itself, that struggle and that tension is pretty intensely felt. Mm. I mean, a lot of Orthodox Jews want nothing to do with the secular state of Israel. They don't even recognize it. And some pretend it doesn't exist. Whereas other Orthodox factions, of course, now have, in a sense, Netanyahu is a secular Jew predominantly, plays to that Jewish, the Orthodox parties who cleverly instigated their role in society and made themselves significant. I think myself, you look at previous Jewish politicians like Premier Sharon from the Labour Party, that there were other ways to organise a sense of a Jewish state rather than being one that saw itself against the Palestinians. I mean, in the long run, the only way for Israel ever to flourish will be in cooperation with Palestinians. Mm. And the only way I think that can probably occur is when the sufferings of Jews and Palestinians, they come to understand that both sides suffer from the agonies. And that's where this novel that I'm reading at the moment, which is on the bookish long list of them, and has an impossibly difficult name to pronounce, is so, so moving. Because until people begin learning the lessons of the sufferings and seeing the sufferings of other societies, how can they possibly grow together as communities?
True.
Powerful words, Peter Lynam.
As per. Oh, look. Love the Jews around. They seem like nice people.
Meanwhile, though, enjoy the celebrations. Happy New Year.
Right on. Hey, thank you very much, very Peter. Good. We'll let you get back to your ponsonby, and we'll catch you next week.
Very good. Thank you. Good.
See you.
Bye.
Keep an eye on food.